Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Ah, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstormin' with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstorminonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. And you want to keep that number handy because I'll be giving away four sandwiches or four salads to Urbane Cafe just a little bit later in the show. Two locations of Urbane Cafe to serve you, one here in Ventura at 4350 Telephone Road in the Barnes & Noble Plaza. The other is in Oxnard at 1730 Gonzales Boulevard, the intersection of Rose and Gonzales. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is candid conversations. Each of my segments will address a critical topic, whether it's communicating, politics, or gold. My first guest has mastered the art of conversation when the stakes are high. We'll learn how to communicate when it matters most from his book, Crucial Conversations. My second segment is a call-in segment. Several listeners have requested this, so I'll open up the mic to let callers express whatever's on their mind. We'll look at all the topics that you want to tackle today. My third guest is one of the country's most dependable sources of financial news. He has his own radio show and he's the author of Timing the Trade, a book on investing. We'll discuss whether all that glitters is, or if the glitter is off of gold as an investment. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Al Switzler, has helped hundreds of organizations to achieve measurable change with his broad knowledge of leadership, teamwork, quality, communications, management, and motivation, and he's been doing it for the past 25 years. He's the co-founder of Vital Smarts. Al has researched methods for driving rapid and sustainable measurable change in behaviors. Vital Smarts has been ranked twice as Inc. magazine, one of the fastest growing companies in America, and he's taught over 2 million people worldwide. Al is the co-author of three New York Times bestsellers, Influencer, Crucial Conversations, which we'll talk about today, and Crucial Confrontations. Al has served on the faculty of several universities, including the University of Michigan, Brigham Young University, Auburn University, and the University of Kentucky. Joining us from the state of Utah. Hi, Al. How are you today?
I'm fine, Bill. Thanks for that introduction. That was actually more than anybody needed to know about me except my mother.
Well, your mother should be proud, and the rest of us should be proud, too, because you've built up quite a deal of credentials over the years. So thank you for being our subject matter expert today.
My pleasure.
Well, let's dive into it, because when the stakes are high and opinions vary, emotions run strong, we humans have one of two reactions, the old fight or flight. When we're confronted with a difficult situation, whether it's at home or whether it's at work, that requires some discussion, we suffer from the same reaction, and you call it silence or violence. Neither one is particularly productive. So how can we keep a cool head and communicate clearly when emotions are running high, Al?
Well, it's really interesting that when we did the research, we studied, did thousands and thousands of interviews, and we'd go in and ask, who has the best results and the strongest relationships in this organization? And one of the findings that we found was that not all conversations are equal. These high-stakes, strong emotion, opposing opinion ones, the ones we call crucial, are really high-leverage conversations. Another finding in our research that really surprised us is how many people go to silence. How many people clam up instead of blow up? I mean, it's probably on the, you know, about 65%, and the consequences are just enormous. So there's two kinds of emotions, the emotions that drive us to blow up and the emotions that drive us to clam up.
Now, Al, you did this research several years ago, so we weren't in the midst of the Great Recession that we have suffered from 2007 until today. But did you find it, you said you found it surprising that 65% of the people clam up. Do you think today, if you went back and did the research, that number might even be higher because people want to keep a low profile, they don't want to make waves for fear of losing their job?
Oh, sure. And actually, we've done multiple studies. We've done about 20 studies since the Crucial Conversations book came out. And by the way, those are included in the second edition of Crucial Conversations, which has just hit the bookstores. But let me tell you that whether it's the recession, whether it's I want to keep a job, whether it's I don't want to hurt someone's feelings, whether I don't want to get in trouble, these clever stories that we tell ourselves are what leads to our behaviors of clamming up. And what we try to help people understand is that candor and courtesy can both be done. We teach people to say those clever stories, regardless of your clever stories, when you tell yourself that and you clam up, you're suffering the consequences because silence says, I agree. Silence says, I'm voting for this. I'm voting for the status quo. Good enough is good enough. And we could give you many, many examples where the lack of candor, this moving to silence, is just has huge impact, huge results in organizations. And homes, by the way.
Yeah, this is a family issue as well as a business issue or even a societal issue as well. My guest is Al Switzler. Al, let's talk about the current political environment that we're in. I mean, certainly the Houses of Congress, both the Senate and the House of Representatives, are facing some very crucial conversations between now and the end of the year, whether it comes to budgets, whether it comes to the political rhetoric leading into the campaign season. Talk to me about how your findings from crucial conversations could apply to our political system today?
Sure. One of the things that we found is that if there's enough safety, you can talk about almost anything, and that's psychological safety or emotional safety or even political safety. And when there's not enough safety, you can almost not talk about anything. You start playing lots of games. And that's where we're at. We found that the two components of safety are mutual purpose and mutual respect. And you can see senators and congressmen showing disrespect and having opposing purpose all of the time. I really think they've got to get back to the point where they treat each other with more civility, and they try to say our mutual purpose is to help our constituents, regardless of party. Let's find the mutual purpose.
And that would be the goal. My guest is Al Switzler, author of the book, co-author of the book, Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When the Stakes Are High. And you define a critical conversation as one where the stakes are high, there are opposing opinions, and there are strong emotions attached. So in a negotiation of any kind, whether it's a high-impact discussion, you have an acronym that helps move the situation forward and avoid sort of the accused, counter-accused games that people get into in these high-tension situations. The acronym is CRIB. Explain what CRIB is, what it means, and how you apply it to these crucial conversations.
Well, one of the interesting things is when we get into negotiations, whether, you know, or conversations that are crucial, a lot of times we find that we really do have opposing purposes. So rather than continue to play games or be swept away by the adrenaline, you know, or even the moral certainty that our cause is just, we need to back off and not find a mutual purpose, but actually create a mutual purpose. So we have to create each other to stay in the dialogue. We need to recognize that there are purposes that are different than tactics, and a lot of times we're arguing over tactics, and then we need to find the purpose. And when we do those first two steps, the other steps come in readily, because we start exploring and brainstorming options that otherwise we wouldn't do.
So you almost come to some sort of consensus or some sort of agreement or compromise over the purpose, and that's really setting the stage for further dialogue, right?
Right, because, again, just like Congress should do now, if they could find that mutual purpose and focus more on their constituents than their party, they would find they have a lot in common.
All right, Al, but let's cut through it, because we're involved in some sort of brouhaha with a coworker or a spouse or whatever. How do you identify what that other person's purpose is so that you can make the determination whether you've got a mutual purpose?
Well, it's really kind of interesting. One of the key indicators that you don't have mutual purpose is debate. The purpose of debate is to win. And when you start saying that, in debate, you can start doing name calling and game playing and stacking the deck, where when you see debate, if you would pause immediately and say, whoa, it's clear that we're debate, we have opposing purpose, and then if you would just say, let me hear what your purpose is, let me express what my purpose is, just putting the purpose out on the table and seeing where they differ and seeing where they, you know, they overlap, where they are opposing, where they are consistent, you're more likely to start finding the mutual purpose rather than playing the debate game.
That makes sense. My guest is Al Switzler, author of the book Crucial Conversations. Al, let's take what you talk about and let's apply it to some everyday common situations that people will encounter, listeners might encounter. Most of my listeners are in business, so let's start with a business situation. Let's say you're in this economy, you're working for a company, you've got a good job, but now you want to seek a promotion for within that company. Talk to me about how you can use some of the things that you teach in Crucial Conversations to move that discussion about the promotion forward.
Well, it's really kind of interesting. When you have any kind of crucial conversation, you really only have three options. Number one is you can blow up and deal with it badly. Number two is you can clam up and not put it on the table. And the third one is you can face it and deal with it well. So if you get angry and miserable and you know, you're talking and gossiping about the fact that no one will listen to you about your promotion, then you're probably destroying trust. You're certainly minimizing trust and causing difficulty. If you just clam up, then it's not going to be considered at all. So the real issue is first deal with your emotions, get your purpose straight, and then go put it on the table by saying, I'd like to talk to you about promotion. I'd like to hear where you're coming from. I have some ideas. Can we talk? I mean, it's that simple. You can't go in angry, and you can't not go in if you want to get that promotion. You have to find a way to get your emotions straight, your purpose straight, and go put it on the table.
Well, that's very clear. That's very straightforward. Let's talk about another business situation that gets a little bit more difficult because of everybody's innate fear not to hurt another person's feelings. Suppose you are a supervisor and you've got to provide negative feedback to a coworker, particularly in the environment, the business environment that we're in. How can some what you teach in Crucial Conversations apply there?
Sure. Let me just say first, the moment we need to hold someone accountable, in the worst organizations, no one's held accountable. In the good organizations, supervisors hold direct reports accountable. But in the very best organizations, people can hold peers and their bosses accountable.
Mm.
It's a very different situation. Once you get your emotion, what we do is we say, instead of leading with emotions and conclusions, lead with an observation and a question. So I go to this peer and I say, you know, 2 weeks ago we agreed that this process would be done in this way. I've noticed that you've left out these two steps. Can we talk? So by leading with observations and questions, I'm engaging in a conversation about facts, where when I lead with emotions and conclusions, I'm, again, minimizing trust and respect and civility, and that's the first big problem, and then we never get to the real problem.
All right. My guest is Al Switzer. Al, let's apply it to something that hits close to home for everybody, and that is a domestic situation when you're trying to work out a problem with your spouse. How can you use some of the tips in Crucial Conversations to help there?
Well, what's interesting about it is that half the people we train that talk about the fact that they feel more likely to have crucial conversations at work because they feel safer there, and half of them feel like they can do it at home because they feel safer there. and at home, one of the difficulties that we often have is that we have unresolved previous conflict, so we're kind of carrying scar tissue and bruises, and we kind of bring those up when we're trying to have a conversation. So number one, if you're having a difficulty at home, call time out. Let the adrenaline and the emotion go away so you can come back and approach it. Second is get an agreement to try to use your best skills instead of some of these debate games and other tactics like guilt trips, etc. So if you can agree that when you have a difficulty at home, call time out to let the adrenaline go away, and two, get agreements on how you'll talk, those two steps can help you deal with many, many of the difficulties at home.
All right, that's good advice. My guest is Al Switzler, a co-author of the book Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When the Stakes Are High. And Al, in the book, you've got a 6-minute framework to prepare anybody for a crucial conversation. Let's go through that, because today, I don't know in this country how many crucial conversations there are going to be. It's probably in the tens of thousands. But if somebody listening to the sound of our voice is getting ready for an afternoon meeting where they're going to have one of these crucial conversations, what's that six-minute drill that they can do to get better prepared for it?
Well, you know, we talked about the six-minute solution for 100 years, and we've got several versions of that. But the first thing we found is you have to be interpersonally effective before you can be interpersonally effective, intrapersonally. You got to get your own act together, your own motive together, motive before message. So I say, why would a reasonable, rational, decent human being be doing this? So I attribute good cause. I attribute good purpose. I don't give them bad motive before I go talk to them. So I see the other person as human, I get my own emotions, and I figure out what my script's going to be. And that script, again, is if I can lead with an observation and a question, getting off on the right foot is more likely to cause the rest of it to go very well.
Good. All right. My guest is Al Switzer. Al, you've written this book, and now it's revised, and it's come out with a new edition, new findings. What do you want readers to take away from reading Crucial Conversations?
You know, one of the findings that we found in all of this research, plus the research we've done in the last 10 years that has kind of justified this second edition, is that the number one predictor of success at work or at home is how rapidly and respectfully you resolve problems. When you clam up, you don't resolve problems, and these problems go forever and ever and ever and ever. I tell people that there are three major interpersonal styles: metaphor, semaphore, and tubophore. Right? When you pull out the tubophore, you can do it rapidly, but not respectfully. The skills we teach in Crucial Conversation is how to rapidly and respectfully deal with the toughest issues in your life in a way that strengthens the relationship.
And you do a very effective job. I read this book in 2005, and I thought it was a great book. I think it's even great today. It has real legs. My guest has been Al Switzer, author of the book Crucial Conversations, Tools for Talking When the Stakes Are High. Al, if people like what they hear and they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
If you go to crucialconversations.com, you can not only download a lot of free resources, you can get videos, you can take the style under stress test for free, you can learn a lot of things about it before you decide that maybe you want to invest in the book or the training, and the training we hold all over the country, all over the world, frankly. The book's now in, I think, 36 languages.
36 languages, that is incredible, and that can be found at crucialconversations.com. Al, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thanks for your good work. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye.